Welcome to Sonata Secrets with Henrik Tilham, unlocking the world of classical music. This video is dedicated to my Concert Cycle Patreon, M. Thurston, who requested an analysis of this piece. Let's play the first part of it and see if you can recognize it. There's an interesting story behind this piece. It was most notably published in 1986 and attributed to Chopin as a posthumous work, but in 2012 the musicologist Luca Chierici discovered that it was actually written by the lesser known Charles Meyer with the title Le Regret, Waltz Etude Melancolique, and the published version with the title Valse Melancolique, attributed to Chopin, is also kind of a transcribed version. It's a more compressed form, a little bit shorter, and a little bit simpler in the middle section. Today, both versions are up on IMSLP, so you can check them out if you want. And you can kind of argue that it's a bit too direct to be Chopin, but it also sounds very Chopin-esque with some of the ornaments and configurations. Regardless of the attribution, the title has been accurate the whole time. It's all about the suspensions on the beat that provides attention to the music and gives it this melancholic feel with a suggestion of regret. So it's C sharp 7 and it's the 4 to the 3rd. This is goes to a diminished to a F sharp minor, the G is the flat 9, and again to F sharp minor with a 4 to the 3. And it's like a motivic suspension, this half note and a quarter note resolution. So the next phrase is a bit of variation, a little bit more life. And now going upwards chromatically and piling on the regrets with this motif. And we're modulating to B minor. But then in the last phrase we find the way back to F sharp minor. This G from B minor, but turning to G sharp, it's diminished, another diminished, dominant 7, and here we reach a new section and it flips to major. We reach a kind of middle section and it's a big contrast. The first part is quite this dense chromatic material. The major section, it's much more open and fluid. We have this nice wave arpeggios and longer notes on the melody, longer phrases. A little bit of tension, melancholy, this chromatic descent. The next phrase, it's a longer line again, going up, crescendo. And modulating to D sharp minor, the relative minor of F sharp minor, but then immediately going back to F sharp major with this super nice Chopin-esque ornament. Get the repeat of this phrase. And now the next phrase, it's taking a slightly new direction. It's going chromatically upward instead. And it's the same type of suspension. Now we're in B major. And this is the sharp fourth. It's Lydian, very nice feeling. And here is kind of a transitional passage that will take us back to the main theme in minor. So here the roles are switched. Right hand gets eighth notes instead, and left hand gets quarter notes as in the complement of the first section. And we start to get this lovely texture configuration. And also it's minor, directly B minor here. Lovely arpeggios, diminished, D sharp diminished, going to G sharp 7 to C sharp, and C sharp is the dominant to F sharp major minor, and here we get the F sharp minor. These are really cool, nice bars. F sharp minor with a D. Very poignant suspension. Back again. And the final extended cadence on C sharp major. By the way, this configuration, it almost reminds me of the famous Chopin waltz in C sharp minor. When we get to the fast part in the second section, this one. Like you have a little bit of the similar turns in the eighth notes melody, of continuous eighth notes. Anyway, we reach this C sharp, rest on the C sharp really here. And then straight back to the return of the main theme in minor, the melancholy theme. A little bit of variation here. But it's a full repeat of the whole theme. And then we have the coda that presents some new material, and it's a really nice progression. Now we're more within F sharp minor to kind of consolidate towards the end, not so much chromaticism as before. So we have this. Right hand kind of has more long notes, just a singing melody, and we have this kind of waves in the left hand. By the way, it's a bit tricky with the fingering because you want to do legato, and I actually change like two new finger on the long note to three, to one, to two, to be able to get legato between all the notes. And the harmony, we have F sharp minor to D to G sharp half diminished. This is the two half diminished, so 2 5 1. It's F sharp 7, so it's continuing the harmonic direction, pointing to kind of a B minor with this lovely suspension on the 9. And finally reaching C sharp, so we have a dominant 6-4 chord and dominant 7 to F sharp minor, and with a special suspension, so dominant 7 with a sharp 5 or flat 6, I'm not sure which one you should say, doesn't matter, it points to F sharp minor. Then we get the same progression again. Now the top voice is one octave down, and it's actually softer the second time, so it can be more, it's an, a bit of an echo. And for the final part, we get the same arpeggios again as we had in the transition from the major to the minor section. But now they're only between F-sharp minor and the diminished chord, and it's big waves. And they die down to smaller waves. And, well, there's a final big wave, but just in F-sharp minor. And ends in the deep register. I think this is a very nice piece, even if it's not written by Chopin. And it might be a very good idea to play if Chopin seems a bit too steep. This is a much less dense alternative. There's only one thing for each hand all the time. And Chopin can often demand much more than that. Thanks for watching Sonata Secrets, and I'll see you in the next video.